We praise you. We praise you, Lord. Now as we turn to your word too, Holy Spirit, keep moving, keep teaching us, keep showing us. And today, a little different, Holy Spirit, we're asking that you would exalt yourself. I know it's not in your makeup. You are sent to glorify Jesus. But for us, would you please help us to understand you more today than we knew before? We ask this in the name and to the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right, hey, if you want to flip open to 1 John, we're going to be flipping around. Little series here, so if you're joining us today for the first time, or you've been gone for a little bit, we spent a lot of time in Daniel. Through Daniel, we went to Matthew 24 and 25, dealing with eschatology, end times things, visions, dreams, spiritual warfare, the end times. And as we moved into summer, I felt the Lord kind of just said, hey, you have 4 weeks. Get back to fundamentals. So kind of the coaching me, like coaching basketball, I feel like that's kind of, it fits my personality also in ministry. I'm a get back to the fundamentals kind of guy, right? So I love people who are gifted in certain areas, evangelists, prophets, learning from them and whatever. But at the same time, for me, I always ground people back in the fundamentals. And so we're a little series on the five exaltations of Christian life. These are five exaltations that every Christian should have. We've gone through scripture, exalt the scripture. It's inspired, it's living and active, it's able to cleanse, and we're admonished to handle accurately. Secondly, exalt Jesus. Let's get back to who Jesus said he was, not what we thought about him. And so we spent some time there. He's able to purchase, he's purchased you. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it means he purchased you. So the purchase has been made. It's up to you to say, yes, Lord, here's my life. He also is able to impute his righteousness. I belabored the point, but you can't do it too often. Paul says often, put on Christ. Or they say in the past tense, you've been clothed in Christ. Like the righteousness available to you is Christ. And so we've kind of talked about that and also how awesome Jesus is. And we haven't even touched on all because a separate but should go with Jesus is how to exalt the cross. So that's next week. We're going to exalt the cross in fellowship. And today's the Holy Spirit. I don't know your guys' story. We all have different stories, different denominational backgrounds. In some ways, because the denomination I grew up in, we acknowledge the Holy Spirit because we were triune, but we never talked about him. And they use the term Holy Ghost. And so as a kid, you hear Holy Ghost, you're a little bit like, scary, is he what? And never had anybody just work through what Jesus taught about the Holy Spirit. And so that's the goal today. He's ever much a part of the Godhead. He is complete in his being a personhood. There's not a good term we have for God, right? Whatever it means that the Father is the Father and not the Son, and the Son's the Son and not the Holy Spirit, even though they're all one, too. So it pushes human language and theology beyond our ability, right? But the Spirit is completely in every way like Jesus, like the Father. He has emotions. He has the ability to offend him. He is excited. He gets sad. And I'll show you at the end of this today. And so, but really, this sermon series is predominantly for the kids. And so, kids, we're asking you guys to read scripture. We're also asking you guys to ask questions you want. And adults, you've been doing awesome, so I want to praise you. You guys have given space for the kids to ask questions and make comments. It does not mean that you can't make one. But I do appreciate kind of allowing them, because you know, it's in a room, and we're not used to it, even as adults, to kind of speak out. You kind of get used to it. So sometimes you need a little quiet, and I'm okay with that, so that they interact with. So for instance, this is the third exaltation. It is exalt the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, right? Exalt the Holy Spirit. Okay, are we tracking? 1 John chapter 2, you turn there. This is one of the most impactful verses of my life. 1 John 2:27. I don't even know where I came across it originally. I give a lot of credit to A.W. Tozer in his book, Pursuit of God. I think there's also credit for others, probably I have forgotten, that look forward to thanking them in heaven. And really, I can't tell you enough. The implementation of this is awesome. There is a growing concern in the apostles and in their letters. You can see it in Paul by Philippians. It's definitely there, right? Philippians is probably 60 to 64 AD. 1 John's written probably 85, 20 years later. There's a growing concern in the apostles as they start writing these letters to churches, is there are people who want to deceive you. And so kids, unfortunately, I wish it wasn't this way, but my job is to tell you how the world actually is there is a force of people and spirit entities that desire is to deceive you. But not to be scared about that, because the counter from God is so great that he sent a third of the Godhead to be here with us forever. See that, though? I'm writing these things to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. What's the answer? Is it doctrine? Is it this? Is it that? No. It is put your faith and trust in understanding the anointing you receive, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit abides in you. That's the first blank. The Holy Spirit abides in you. Little footnote for you adults, all the yous in this verse are plural. So John's confidence isn't necessarily in Eric Young going off in the woods by himself and having the Holy Spirit teach him. John's confidence is Eric Young with the body, allowing the Holy Spirit to teach us. Make sense? It's the y'all. It's the y'all. And me personally, and y'all. Why? Because deception's that crazy, and that, unfortunately, the enemy's that good at it. He's been practiced for 6 millennia or more. So I wouldn't try to challenge somebody who's had 6 millennia to get good at something. But the provision for the Lord is both the Holy Spirit's in you, hence the abides, that part's awesome, and he's in the y'all. And so together, when we open God's word, there's greater wisdom, greater clarity, and greater ability to hold on to truth and not be deceived. And this church is an admonition to us as Westerners. We're too focused on the I and not enough on the we. And if I was in Japan, this sermon would be flipped. I'd say you're too focused on the we and not on the I. And so this is a contextual sermon for us. As Westerners, it's all about the I. It comes from the pietistic movement, big word for you guys. So it has its basis in a reason why. And so if you come, July 26th, August 2nd, and 9th, Dr. Michael Bogart will be here giving you church history. And part of that will help you understand what I mean by the pietistic movement. It comes out of the 1500s, more into the 1700s. It really is a progression after what Calvin and Luther did by breaking away from the Catholic Church. Because at that point, it was a state-run church, and if you were born, you were born in the church, and so there you were saved, which doesn't hold to Scripture either. So it's all focused on the we. So piety is a personal pursuit of Jesus Christ. That became so dominant that by the 21st century in America, I feel like it's gone too far the other way, where it's just about me and Jesus. You're looking at people saying, hey, he's good. Like, the enemy's good. He'll deceive you. Like, it's okay. I have Jesus. You're like, well, but there's provision in the you and in the y'all. I digress. That's for you adults. Sorry, kids. Back to it. The Holy Spirit abides in you. And, kids, he teaches you about all things. That's awesome. Samantha, does that mean then when you're studying math, you can ask the Holy Spirit to teach you? Oh, it's not just spiritual things. Does that mean Haven, like when you're learning technical skills at work, you can ask the Holy Spirit to teach you mechanics? Yeah. A.W. Tozer's book, Pursuit of God is So Good, is be healed from the secular sacred paradigm. It's sacred over here and it's secular over here. Nope. It's both. I happen to spend most of my time now in what we would call sacred, but it's not. It's the church ministry. Some of you spend most of your time now at Edison or the school. But hey, Jesus abides where? Where does the Holy Spirit abide? So where you are is where he is. And so some of you, he wants you at Edison. And so for me to come up here and say, like, what you're doing is dumb, you should leave Edison, that would be against where he's placed you. No, we reject that. No. Where you're placed, you can bring glory to God. Where you're placed is not accidental. Now, if you pray and ask him, he tells you to move and you don't, that's a whole different sermon series and different scenario, right? But you don't believe in the sacred circle anymore. So my position as a pastor of a church is no more holy or sacred than your position as a hydrographer, management at Edison, teacher, retired, right? You don't retire from Jesus, so that term is all you got. You retire from a work, you're still involved in kingdom stuff. And so praise the Lord, that one song says, right, if you're still here, he's not done with you. To get retrained and refired, that's right. So, awesome kids, the Holy Spirit abides in you. If you remember from last week, Jesus abides in you. Hey, wow, kids, we're starting to stack. That's pretty powerful that we should dwell on. Where is Jesus? He's here. Where is the Holy Spirit? He's also here. Ponder these things. Ask him to teach you these things. And he teaches you about all things. Praise the Lord. Little definition there. That's what the little asterisk means. Abide. This comes from Noah Webster. Abide means to rest or dwell or remain. So rest and dwell. Notice the Holy Spirit is very similar to Jesus in that. Jesus is a person. We have a problem picturing a person with Jesus. Holy Spirit's also a person. Shouldn't have an issue kind of thinking about him that way. Okay, love that. So I can't hit enough. When I watch movies now, I ask the Lord, Holy Spirit, teach me. If I read, doesn't matter what book I read. Doesn't matter where I'm at. Even if I go to a concert, even a secular concert, my Holy Spirit, teach me. You know, I learned some tremendous truths from Japanese people who didn't know Jesus. I learned a tremendous truth about energy from a Buddhist Aikido master who doesn't know Jesus. So now it takes away my fear of being deceived. Now I'm open, though, to have him teach me from anybody. And so he solidifies. He's true. And some of the promises here, and maybe it seems at first reading that the Apostle John's belaboring it, but he's not. Verse 27, as for y'all, the anointing which y'all receive from him abides in y'all. You have no need for anyone to teach y'all, but as his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie. Notice this too. And just as it has taught you, abide in him. If you've learned anything about Jesus, that's the Holy Spirit teaching you, which can give you confidence that he can teach you now and confidence he'll teach you tomorrow. Also want to say, hey, right now, John's at a place where the church is getting attacked from without and attacked from within, 85 AD. And his confidence after 55 years as an apostle, his confidence after 3.5 years of walking with Jesus, experiencing Pentecost, going through all those tremendous things that we look back on and learn from, this man who spent 55 years and all of his brothers have been martyred is still around fighting for the church. And what is he fighting for? The confidence is in the Holy Spirit. And now if you go back and read Paul, it's exactly how Paul was 30 years before. That's how Paul could plant a church in 3 weeks and leave and write back to them and say, you're in need of nothing. That pushes me to such a truth, right? He's in Thessalonica for 3 Sabbaths and goes, Thessalonians are under attack from the minute because Paul started something, they got attacked. That church never collapsed. And Paul never went back there. And I can't find any place in time where they got a pastor in the preceding span of time. There was years and years and years without a shepherd there. And you know what? You're good. You got Jesus. You got the Holy Spirit. You got people committed. That's all you need. This is awesome, church. Praise the Lord for the Holy Spirit. Okay, number two. We're going to flip over to John. We'll spend some time in John 14 through 16. So you can kind of leave it open there. Okay, that's the Apostle John's point of view. Do you think we should listen to Jesus teaching us about the Holy Spirit? That, again, seems like a pretty straightforward and simple, it's not even a proof text. I don't know what it is, right? It's just a matter of fact. Hey, Jesus, what do you want us to know about the Holy Spirit? John 14, here you go, kids. Number two, Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Truth. He's the Spirit of Truth. He doesn't say it one time. He says it 3 times. John 14, 17, John 15, 26, and John 16, 13. John 14, 17. Wait, what's that word he just used? Starts with A. Abides. Oh, doesn't that sound familiar? So the Gospel of John and 1 John, John's just quoting Jesus in 1 John then, right? Abides. Awesome. John. So that's John 14, 17. 15, verse 26. Awesome. Double testimony. Spirit will testify, but notice there again, he is the Spirit of Truth. Chapter 16, verse 13. Awesome. I'd say the main thing in point two, he's the Spirit of Truth. So reason with me. If I'm okay with little white lies, can the Spirit of Truth have full sway with me? If I'm okay with little marketing, little sales, and little manipulation over here, is that in alignment with the Spirit of Truth? Hey, kids, here's what I'm saying. I'm not asking you tomorrow to be 100% true and never tell a white lie, because that's not reasonable. I'm asking you guys to agree with Scripture and ask the Holy Spirit to teach you, be children of truth. who love the truth, who speak the truth. Does that make sense? This is meant to be a process you grow in, not a thing that you dominate and say you have to do it tomorrow. That's where I kind of said, so hey kids, now all of a sudden for me, this is my process. I'm not putting anything harder on you. My process is, am I agreeing more and more with the spirit of truth or more with the other guy? And so every day I make a decision, because hey kids, life's hard and I get it. People put you in a situation too, especially if I tell the truth and it's used against me, that you're pinned. But just to encourage you in that moment to pray, don't make a decision now on what you're going to do, but be praying and walking with him. That's why these two banners up here. One, we want to be being filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you're being filled with the Holy Spirit, then you can do this one, which is walk by the Spirit. And Paul says this is the greatest thing you're looking to achieve. You have the Holy Spirit, you live by the Spirit, the greatest is walking by him. And it means like you're behind him in a row. And so I'm not saying you're going to come up with in your mind how I'm going to do things ahead of time. But if you're walking with him, he'll guide you then. I'm telling you, it's not easy. So these are some serious things. And so we're also saying not do it alone. Notice, kids, it's pretty awesome, right? Later on, we're leading up to this, right? So we're communion with Jesus, right, in his body and his blood. So you want to commune with him as you're walking and not trying to do your own. So also, hey, kids, you're not on this journey alone, right? You're not alone. So at any point, man, Jesus is with you, Holy Spirit's with you, but also fellowship with the brethren. Yeah, I hope, kids, but also you're hearing, though, too, is this is a lifelong journey pursuit. It's not a one-time teaching. You're not going to get this thing put away like I got it, so... we're encouraging you. Here it is, though. Here's truth, the definition of truth. How many of you think you could define truth in modern day? Modern day truth is whatever you think it is, would probably be the modern definition of truth, right? Yeah. So this is not a modern definition. This is based off Noah Webster's. Truth, conformity to facts and reality. It's not subject to me. Conformity to facts and reality. Number A, like this one too, exact accordance with what is, has been, or shall be. Exact accordance, like that, right? Not accordance only, but exact accordance. B, true state of facts or things. And then C, kids, veracity. It's a good word. That's a word on its own you should learn. It's a great word. I couldn't define it off the top of my head. I had to look it up. So you got to love Noah Webster when he's defining a word and using words that you don't know. You're like, right? Almost 200 years ago, he wrote his dictionary. Veracity. Here it is, kids. Purity from falsehood. I like that one. Purity from falsehood. And then here's what we're talking about too, kids. You heard it in this discussion. Habitual disposition to speak truth. What does habitual mean? What's that? Making a habit. Excellent. So what even in the definition for Noah was the understanding that if you want to speak truth, it is a habit that needs to be formed. I think all the adults can testify that when we come out of the womb, we don't come out speaking truth as easily as it is to tell little white lies. There's this thing called sin that we're born in. That mars us, that Jesus is trying to heal us from, right? So speaking truth actually is habit forming. And so for habits, practicing it over time is forming a habit. So I love this. It becomes a habitual disposition to speak the truth. And so, hey, kids, you can help each other with that too, right? You can help each other with becoming people who speak truth. It's easier in groups. You guys get it all? So truth, right? Truth, it's important to us once in a while to stop and define truth again. I feel like, right? We're in a society right now that just doesn't love truth. We want it to be something else other than it is. So conformity to fact and reality. Thank you, Noah Webster. So he is the spirit of truth. Also, if you want to grow in your relationship with him, you have to be willing to listen to the truth because he's only going to speak truth. So if you're not used to truth, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you won't really like it. So part of this process is, kids, if you understand just the big scope of salvation, we were in our sin. And in our sin, we're under the ruler of this world, who is the father of lies. And when Jesus Christ shines light in, and you say, Lord Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior, and the free gift you give me, he pulls you from that and puts you in the kingdom heaven, where now the Spirit is Spirit of truth. But you're used to this one, and you have to be trained to tune your ears to this one, and you need him. Hence why communion. I need him as much today as at any point, and probably it's a journey where you realize the older you get, you could probably make the case it's even harder to speak truth in all situations. And so, admonish you, but he is the Spirit of truth. We want to grow, we want to acknowledge him, and we want to know him more. All right, good stuff. All right, you can stay in John 16. John 16, 12 and 13. It's the whole paragraph. It is 14 and 15. Hey, that is the third time you've heard this morning. Natasha read it. Nora touched on it. Just read it again. I think Jesus wants us to hear what he says about the Holy Spirit. All right, the Holy Spirit will, number one, he will guide you. Notice again in this verse, all the yous are plural. So we don't have that in English. It's in the Greek. And in the Greek, in the South. That's why we love the Arkansas side of the body, right? Y'all. There's spiritual y'all down there. In the Greek, it is absolutely clear. It is plural. So that's something that I can check on. I can tell you these are plural yous. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all the truth. He will disclose to you what is to come. This is the basis for prophecy and having modern-day prophets, right? And he will glorify Jesus. One of the tricky things, adults, is dealing with the prophetic and prophecy. If it ever gets to a place where it stops glorifying Jesus, start to really back off, even though things still come true. The Holy Spirit's job is to glorify Jesus. So if you ever hear, like, we're putting Jesus aside because we're going to focus on the Holy Spirit, it doesn't work that way, right? Because his job is to glorify Jesus, who is to glorify the Father. So the three in there. Awesome. I have many more things to say to y'all, but you cannot bear them. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. Into how much of the truth? You see how important it is, everybody, that we love truth. This is why we need Jesus daily. Jesus says, I am the way, the and the life. I need Jesus to love truth. One thing that Paul says in 2 Thessalonians, when he's talking about the lawless one who's going to be released, one of the judgments is they didn't receive a love of the truth. So loving the truth isn't something I'm asking you to drum up. I'm not asking you to gird your boots on. I'm not asking you to be tougher about it. I'm asking you to say, Jesus, will you help me love the truth? I'm loving you. I'm loving the truth. I'm loving the Holy Spirit. It's all encompassing. But it's something you receive. I didn't have it. I was one of those kids, I looked really nice, and I was full of deception because I could use my niceness and the fact that I looked like you could trust me to manipulate adults when I was a kid. The Lord has taken me back and said, you have to repent from that. And I said, I had to repent from all that. You're right, Lord. Why? Because I need you, Jesus, to come abide in me, and then truth starts to flow from inside out. He wants to permeate all of us, right? How awesome. He will guide you into all the truth. Why? Because he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will disclose to you what is to come. Thank you. There are certain things, therefore, not written in the word that Jesus has told us will be disclosed by the Holy Spirit. I'm not charismatic in that camp. I grew up in a different camp, but I have to deal with this verse. This is Jesus clearly stating that everything you need to know is not in the scripture. He will disclose things that are to come. Okay, and he will glorify me, for he'll take of mine and will disclose it to you. Somehow Jesus knew. He knew that we would take that and misuse that verse, so he puts the next verse on. He's going to take mine and disclose it to you. Wait a second. Don't get crazy out there. Don't become a Jesus movement that's apart from the Father. I say this because everything that the Father has are mine. I'm not different than the Father. You know, I love that little verse 15. We would have formed a denomination, right? Instead of Jehovah's Witness, we'd be Jesus Witnesses, and we'd be just as wrong, right? We're just witness to Jesus. He's like, hey, no, don't try to bring division into the Godhead. Don't try and say those kind of things. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Things to come will not be contrary to Scripture, they're saying, kids. Someone comes to you and says something that's contrary to Scripture. It's not that. But there are certain things not written in Scripture that have happened. Does that make sense? Process of discernment. Okay, he'll guide us, he'll disclose, he will glorify us. Conclusion. Chapter 16, verse 7 through 11. Previous, so hey, I'm doing that in a previous paragraph. We just spent some time on what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. Now I'm backing up one paragraph, a little reverse teaching on you guys, doing the opposite, not going through consecutive order, but reversing it. Conclusion. It is to our advantage that Jesus is not here. I can't believe I'm saying that, but Jesus said it. I remember the first time this actually fully set on me. It was either after CJ's birth or Samantha's birth. You remember, Natasha? He's in the hospital room. I was reading through John to you. I can't remember which one it was. It's a really powerful moment for me. I don't know what your problem was. You had a kid, whatever. I just offended all the women, and all the guys are with me. I just yours in half. I was reading this to her. I'm like, I've read it so many times before that, right? But Jesus is really saying, it's better I go away. Jesus, you're Jesus. When you walked around, you were the exact representation of the Father. If you saw me, you saw the Father. And he's saying, yes, and it's better I go. Why? Because that's how awesome the Holy Spirit is. Here's one thing about the Godhead that I've had to heal on, because I don't see it in human endeavors too much, is they live in love to exalt the other, not themselves. And in the human world, it's the opposite. The great ones want to exalt themselves, and they want to hear people exalt them. And so maybe at best you'll have three guys come up here, and they'll be praising each other because they're getting praised from the other guy. But the Trinity lives to be like, that guy's awesome. He's awesome. He will live to exalt. It's to your advantage I go away. If I don't go, the helper won't come. This also could be in exalting Jesus. One of Jesus' things that he secured by his righteous living was that you and I and all flesh have access to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit didn't come at any point other than Jesus earned the right for you and I to have the Holy Spirit. Wow. We don't have to be like a Daniel or a Saul or a David, a unique one person in the world at the time that the Holy Spirit was anointed on, but not everybody else. We have only experienced post-Joel prophecy on all flesh. Why, church? Because Jesus purchased the right to send him to y'all. I'm in the y'all too. Praise the Lord for that. We exalt Jesus. You can't help but glorify him. We talk about the Holy Spirit. Right? If I don't go away, I won't sell the helper. Here's a great term. In the Greek, it's parakletos. I can't pronounce it right. If you have the NASB, it'll show it in the center margin. Helper, you know what it means? He's called alongside. In any way you want to define helper as the Holy Spirit, he's with you. He's alongside you. The beautiful thing is, we want to get to here where he's in front of me. I don't necessarily want to like, hey, Holy Spirit, okay, thank you, and move on. That's initially, you first come to the Lord, Holy Spirit's behind you, and eventually he'll tell you this, and you're like, hold on. You're like, oh, man, I screwed up. What happened? Oh, I should listen to you. Later on, hopefully he's side by side with you. This is kind of, I think, how I picture myself in my walks, right? Holy Spirit, me and him. I had a buddy always talked about, you know, shotguns for Jesus, shotguns for the Holy Spirit, right? You're driving around. You're talking to him. Best, though, is when he comes to the front and you're following him and you're in step with him and in timing. But he's the helper. It's the Father's love of you and desire you'd have a helper. It's Jesus' love of you and desire to send the helper for you. That makes sense? It is our advantage Jesus is not here. A little warning, this is more for you adults and kids. Kids, later on you can unpack this. Watch out for deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. Deceitful spirits, there's warnings in Scripture about somebody coming and prophesying, and it's true, and they try to lead you astray from God. Even Moses warned about that. Paul warns that Satan will masquerade as an angel of light. So one thing I can tell you is, obviously, if you're interacting with the Holy Spirit, you're interacting with a person who is what? Visible or invisible? Invisible. So all my faculties I have that I've trained in don't translate to me growing in the Holy Spirit. So you have to begin to learn how to interact with him. And you can use God's word, but who also uses God's word? When he tempted Jesus, Satan used God's word to tempt Jesus, and Jesus saw through it. So Paul says in 1 Timothy 4:1, we don't have time, we're kind of getting short on time, just to quote a few guys. The Spirit explicitly says, in the last days, these things will happen. Why is the Holy Spirit telling Paul, and why is he telling him explicitly, people will fall away? And they'll fall away because of two things: deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. And so we have to be careful of those things. And so kids, as you get older, be a part of a body of believers who are pressing in, asking, actively reading God's word, studying it. That'll help you with this. It's a journey. This is not a one-time thing. This is a journey. That's why it's meant to go in your Bible, and I hope it's in your Bible for a long time. And you guys can pull it out. That makes sense? A little bit of a warning. More for adults than kids, but kids, you have to be aware. We're in a spiritual war. Hey, on the back side, this is a unique one. On the back side are 6 don'ts that I have found in regard to the Holy Spirit. We are out of time. We want to spend some time in communion. But just so you guys know, here are 6 things we're warned about in the entire scripture. Number 1, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Number 2, don't quench him. Number 3, don't insult him. Number 4, don't resist him. Number 5, don't strive against him. And absolutely never, ever, ever, ever blaspheme the Holy Spirit. There's one unforgivable sin. There's one sin that you can't go and say sorry about, and that's blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Be cautious on letting somebody define what that means for you. You have to say the word. But if something Jesus is doing, the Holy Spirit is doing, you say it's from the devil. That's the context of blaspheming him. But the other 5, if you notice, those are all things that happen to a person. Can you grieve a person? Can I grieve my wife? Can I quench her? Can I thumb her down? Can I block her? Can I insult her? Can I resist her? Can I strive against her in her marriage? So notice, this is the Holy Spirit showing us that he is complete in every way like a person. See, he is a person. That's why I like the fact that since my youth, now it's Holy Spirit, not Holy Ghost. That's a semantic thing for me, but just so you guys know. So these are 6 don'ts. I've been guilty of 5 of the 6. Thankfully, not the last one. And so in my time, and as we prepare for communion, I would just entreat you guys to look at this list. If the scripture verses are there, if you want to see it in context, if you're guilty of any of these, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you that you, right now, you can just say you're sorry or ask for forgiveness. Sorry is sort of the accidental things that happen in life. Forgiveness is when you really wound somebody or wound him. Say, will you please forgive me of it? That's why this table is here. It's of the body and the blood of the Lord. And it's Jesus who sent the Holy Spirit to us. And so I just would encourage you guys to take a little moment. Natasha will be playing on the piano. We practice an open communion, right? So if you put your faith and trust in Jesus, you're welcome to the table. But right now, church, is an opportunity for you individually to come and to partake of this. And if you've done any of these things, if you've insulted him, if you resisted him, if you've grieved him, take a moment, transact with him before you come and take the body and the blood of the Lord and say sorry. If you have wrongful teaching, if you are still trying to understand who he is, that's not a forgiveness thing. That's just an asking the Lord to teach me more who you are. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time. Lord, we ask your blessing on these elements, that the bread becomes your body, the cup becomes your blood of the new covenant by faith, Lord. And we ask Jesus, you would help us to grow, but also, Lord, if there's anything that we've done, Holy Spirit, against you, if we've hindered you, would you reveal it to us now that we may just confess and repent or even say our sorry and have a relationship renewed, rekindled, brought into its fullness. Thank you for this time. Please move, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.